This morning, Gail and I are in Florida. We spent Thanksgiving weekend with some close family in Florida. We're looking forward to being back with you this week, both for the prayer service and, of course, next Sunday morning as we really kick off a brief series moving us towards Christmas. This morning, I want to introduce to you Hal Habecker. He is the founder and leader of Finishing Well Ministries, which is a ministry that focuses on maximizing the spiritual impact of seniors. Also, for the previous 21 years, Hal served as a senior pastor in Dallas, Texas, and before that, he served as the president of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. He and his wife, Vicki, have three adult kids, two of whom are married, and they have six grandkids. Hal is a man of God. He walks with God, and I'm thrilled to have him here at Wood's Edge today. Would you please give Hal a warm welcome?
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to hear your voice, see your face. I wish I saw you in person, but have fun with your family. It's an honor to be here this morning. Let me say, not only Jeff, who I've known ever since his seminary days, but Kevin and Sandra Eichel sitting right here in the front row. I have known Kevin for 42 years. We ran into each other when I was a seminary student working in Young Life, and I had the privilege of having Kevin as a part of my campaign ministry, and we've been great friends and tracking with them, Kevin and Sandra, and it's really an honor to be here this morning to see what God's doing at Wood's Edge. Would you join me in prayer, please? Now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Work through your Spirit to open our eyes to you and what you want to do in us this day, I pray, through Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, now I'm with a ministry, as Jeff said, called Finishing Well Ministry. Its focus is on mobilizing retirement people, retiring boomers and seniors for the glory of Christ. There is a poem by Robert Browning. It goes like this. Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in his hands who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid. That poem captures what I think the Bible teaches. Let me illustrate it this way. I have a graphic of the Tour de France. I am a cyclist, and I love getting on the bike. When I was a college junior, I rode a bicycle from Miami Beach, Florida, to Seattle, Washington. We covered everything, averaged 100 miles a day. You know, little did I know how much that trip would picture life. There are steep climbs in life, challenges as you grow, whether you're I think about that a little grandson who learns to walk and he stumbles all over the place until he gets it down. I want to say that's like life all the time. You're learning new things, learning to grow, and there are uphill climbs in life. There are excruciating hardships that we go through. There are hurricanes that go through our lives, our communities, even church. Whatever it is, God challenges us to keep growing. Then there are downhill slides where you enjoy life. Life seems not to be, it couldn't be any better. But then it will change. God is in all of that, and he is in all of the generations that we have. There's a chart about our ministry that looks like this. In the middle of it is finishing well. It's not just finishing life well, it's finishing every day well. Continuing to grow in your own personal life down in the right-hand corner. Continuing to build relationships with other people that make an eternal difference. And continuing to have an impact with your life as you pour your life into others. Just consider the two great commandments, to love God with all your heart, soul, and your might. And number two, your neighbor as you pour your life out for others. That is God's mission for us. Well, it's very personal for me. I have a family, like you do. Everybody has a parent. Everybody has father and a mother, somebody who's poured their life into you, and I have a family. I want you to see them. There are three adult kids. They are 39, 38, and 35. I won't tell you my wife's age, but we've been married for almost 42 years. She's the bright star of my life. We've had a great time together rearing our kids. But the thing is, the point this morning is loving your neighbor as yourself. In the family, it's one generation after another pouring into each other. I thought this morning in watching this little dedication and the dedication of those in the early service, somebody, Kevin, ought to get those letters that the parents wrote to their kids and track them for the next 20 years. And when those kids that were dedicated today, little Tobias, 3 months old, what will he be like when he's 30 or 20? And the parents ought to reread the letter and say, are we on track? Are we doing what we purpose to do? That's the message this morning, because the important thing is God designs generations to build into each other. The promise of the family, or the purpose of the family, is to pass on a vision of God from one generation to the next. Now, I don't know how old little Tobias will be before he begins to grasp that vision. You know, they have three older kids, and let me tell you, kids catch on pretty quick what it's about. And they catch on more as they grow in life, learning to test what God's vision is as a high school student where Justin works. This retreat you'll have in January, high school kids will have an opportunity to catch a new and fresh vision for God wants them to be. Of course, their parents have been doing this with them, hopefully, ever since they've been little people. But as you grow, you have an opportunity again and again and again. And take the picture of my family. I have three adult kids and now 10 grandkids, two son-in-laws. My vision is to see God work in their lives, in my stage. It begins with me. Am I growing? Do I have a vision of God in my own life? Is He directing me? Is He directing my marriage? Is He directing my parenting to adult kids and grandkids? And if you're old enough, even great-grandkids and great-grandkids. That is God's vision for the family. Now, while our ministry is focused on older people to help them and encourage them, keep the vision, like Robert Browning said, grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. Do you know that that's the pattern of Scripture? I don't need to remind you about that, but I will. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Peter 1:12, where Peter says, I'm not going to say anything new to you this morning. You know it all, but I'm going to remind you of it. Now, I want to remind you this morning of God's purpose for an aging generation and the purpose for the family. Follow with me. There are 6 verses I actually want to read to you and show you that. The first one comes in Deuteronomy. Appear on your screen here. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land which where you're going to possess it. Moses had a mission to pass on the work of God. Go to the next passage. That the Lord may, Lord your God, you and your son, your son's son, by keeping his statutes and commandments, which I'm commanding you, all the days of your life. So here you got 3 generations rolling on where the fathers, the sons, and the grandsons are interacting. Let's go to the next one. Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. Now, for example, in a church, a young person ought to grow up in a church and have generations of people ahead of them showing the way, telling the stories of God's faithfulness again and again and again. By the way, parents need to do that. When you're little, you should teach your children not only the things of God, but tell them the stories of your life. You know, one of the things little kids never tire about, they say, Papa, that's what they call me, tell me stories when you were a little boy. So I tell them stories about when I was a little boy. They're fun. They laugh at them. Do you know that's spiritually true? You never want to stop telling stories to your kids about God's faithfulness in your life, no matter how old you get or no matter how old those kids are. Look at the next verse, a couple verses in Psalms. Psalm 44:1. Oh God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. Keep going. Psalm 71. Oh God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Stop there for a second. Leave the scripture up. The best thing an aging person of whatever age you are, the best thing you can do is tell the stories of God's faithfulness to you. Do you remember what God did in your days when you were in college? Do you remember what God did when he brought those little people into your life this Sunday morning when they're dedicated to you? Do you remember what God did in your life, you know, as you grew up and began to trust your kids through adolescence? Do you remember what God did in your life when you were trying to help your aging parents? Do you remember what God did in your life through every age you have ever been? So while our ministry is focused on older people, it's really focused on all of us. It's focused on me keeping the vision in mind of what God wants me to do in my life. In fact, I thought about this singing the song this morning. I just want to be where you are. You know, that's a song we sing to God. I want to be where he's working, like Henry Blackaby said. But I thought of it the other way. That's what God thinks of us. He says, Hal, I just want to be where you are this morning at Wood's Edge. I just want to be where you are in your parenting. I just want to be where you are in your marriage. I just want to be near your heart, Hal. The most special thing about you is me being there with you. There is nothing like your love. And I think Jesus says that to each one of us this morning. There's nothing like your love. Jesus loves to be loved. So that's the verse. Let me finish it in Psalm 71. You've taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, O God, don't forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come. That's God's purpose in families. Psalm 78, there are three verses, 5, 6, and 7. And I'd love to encourage you to dwell on these three verses out of Psalm 78. It reads like this. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers to teach to their children. You never stop teaching your kids. Deuteronomy 6, you're to teach them when you lie down, when you walk, when you're in your house, when you rise up all day long. The verse is written for those little kids in your home. But let me add, you never stop teaching with your life. You never stop teaching with your life. Does Dad still love Jesus as much as he did when he dedicated me that day? Does Dad still love my wife as much as he did when he dedicated me that day? You know, there's a huge divorce increase, marital failure increase, not only in the early years after marriage, but in the graying years of life where people say, there has to be more to life than what I've experienced. So I'm going to try something new. He commanded our fathers to teach their children that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn, you know, your life has an impact generations ahead that you cannot see. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And arise and tell them to their children, that is your great-grandchildren, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Then one verse in the New Testament, go with me to Acts 2, verse 17. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that if you'll pour out my spirit in all flesh, your sons, watch the intergenerational, the multi-generational impact of the church. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men and women, nobody likes to be called old, do they? I'm just a younger old kind of guy. Your older people will what? Say it with me. Dream dreams. Now, let me just ask you a frank personal question. As you're aging, and this is addressed to older people in the congregation this morning, how many dreams are you dreaming for what God wants to do in your life? How many dreams are you dreaming for what God wants to do in your marriage? How many dreams are you dreaming for all you want to see God do in your adult kids? How many dreams are you dreaming for what God wants to do in your grandkids? How many dreams are you dreaming for the impact of Wood's Edge Church? How many dreams are you dreaming for Jeff and Gail? How many dreams are you dreaming for your elders? How many dreams are you dreaming for what God wants to do here? That's God's purpose for us, to pass on a vision of God to the next generation. In fact, six principles I want you to see. We'll go through them very, very quickly. Number one, we are here to steward a vision of God from one generation to the next. Every generation has a task. Every stage of parenting has a task. Every stage of the family has a task. And just as you saw these young families up here this morning, their task is to give a vision of God to these four little people here. If we stood up here and you had adolescent kids, your challenge as a parent is to give a vision of God to your adolescents. They need it more now than ever. You heard Justin say, this county leads the state of Texas in suicides. Young people are growing up today aimless because our world is aimless. It's lost its stability. It's lost its biblical foundations. It's lost its identity of marriage and family. It's lost its idea of integrity. Who's going to put integrity back into the media world? Who's going to talk about personal relationships and the value as opposed to communicating on a screen all the time? We are here to pass on a vision of God. He loves you. He cares for you. He has a passion for you. He wants to dwell in your life. Let me tell you, that's what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. Abraham hears the voice of God. He leaves Ur of the Chaldees, and he goes to a new land. What, God sent you here, did you say, Abraham? Never heard of him. And how many people in our world have never heard the gospel? How many people in Houston have never heard the gospel clearly communicated? Like Abraham, we've never heard. You got to tell us about him. So he built an altar everywhere he went. I want to tell you about the God who called me. He loves you, and he'd love for you to worship him too. We could talk about Jacob. We could talk about Isaac. We could talk about Joseph. The corridors of Scripture are filled with people who had a choice to make. Do I love God and want to walk with him all my days and pass that on to my kids, my grandkids, and my great-grandkids? And like Joseph, do I want them to carry my bones out 400 years after the fact because their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather trusted Yahweh Jehovah? What a challenge to us to outlive our lives into the next generations. Jesus said it. He came that we might see God, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else will take care of itself because I'm in control. Daniel learned that. We could go through the hall of Scripture. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in your home, in your marriage, in your family, for generation, like it is in heaven. We are here to pass on a vision of God, to keep it. We are called. The second principle I want to make, we need to be the patriarchs and matriarchs who will lead the way and call our families to trust in God. Did you read that verse 7? So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of the Lord. We are here. The crises that are ours in our country, in our community now, are our opportunities to say, trust God. I believe he has us here for a time and a purpose that is now to display to this city. College kids are more confused than ever before, uncertain about life. I hear a lot of parents say, I don't know that I'd have as many kids today because the world is so uncertain. What's going to happen? Well, that goes against God who ordained the family and in each generation. I'll tell you, just chase it back through our country for the last 200 years. Chase it back through the history of the church for the last 2,000 years. The critical issues that Christians have always faced, the critical issues that Christian families face across the Middle East today, in countries, the I countries, you name it, they're right in the middle of everything, persecution And God is calling men and women to be patriarchs and matriarchs who will lead the way to call our families to trust in God. A lot of uncertainty, but where's your stability? My stability is in God. It's not in my culture. It's not going to be what happens in the White House. It's not going to be what happens in the business. It's not going to be what happens in the weather. God is in charge. For the Lord has established His sovereignty in heaven, Psalm 103, verse 19, and His sovereignty rules over all. God is calling us to be patriarchs and matriarchs. You know, I became a patriarch in a sense. A patriarch, I would say, is the oldest living man in the family. I was a young patriarch at 21 when my dad died at 52. A patriarch is somebody who sets his feet in the ground and says, this is who I am, this is what God's going to do in my life. And you know, my dad did that, even though he died at 52 and I was 21. He set a course for my life. As a man who was a student of the Scriptures, and he built that into my life as a young kid. I've had a heart for God. I've had a heart for His Word. I came to Dallas Seminary to learn the Scriptures, not knowing how God would use that. But my dad set the standard. I would encourage any dad here this morning, I don't care, I don't know if you're young, just a brand new dad, a day old, or the oldest dad in this congregation this morning. Be a student of the Word of God and set your face to know God through His Word. Be a patriarch and a matriarch. The third principle, not only will we be patriarchs and matriarchs, but we will press for future generations with a passion for the character of God and a confidence in the truth of Scripture. Do you trust the character of God in your life? Is He proving yourself faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful again? Tell your stories. I think of Caleb, who was 85 after he went into the promised land and had the initial five-year war conquest. He said to Joshua, give me my mountain. I love it. An 85-year-old man saying, I want to do what God brought me to this place to do. You know, if you're here this morning, you live where you're at, you are here because of God's assignment for you. God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you to trust Him, to trust the character of God. David, I think of him. All the stories, by the way, the corridors of Scripture are filled with people. The corridors of history are filled with people. Trust God. Look at him. I think of David. He came after Goliath. I mean, he was stunned as a young lad. Why isn't anybody going after the enemy of the Israelites? How can you not have confidence in God to go after him? You ever think about that? Why don't people be strong in faith and go? Because they're fearful. So God wants parents to fuel future generations with a passion for the character of God. And David said, you come to me with a sword and spear, but I come to you in what? The name of the living God. You know, David trusted God, and he had confidence in the truth of Scripture. God will with him. We recognize it in Psalm 27, where David's heart for God never stopped. My mother, when my dad died, gave me a Scripture, which I want to read to you. It is Deuteronomy 31. My note card fell out. Deuteronomy 31. Give me a second to find it. It is the Lord who goes before you. Think about that. Setting it out to your adult kids. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. You know, I've lived every year of my life with that verse. I've made every decision in my life in light of that verse and a host of others, knowing that God is trustworthy. The fourth principle. We, as parents, will teach the importance of obeying God. Let me give you a verse, Joshua 1:8. Kevin and I share it. It's one of our favorite verses. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And by the way, it shall not depart out of your mouth. That literally means to eat the word, to have it absorbed into your system. Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to say, I want to be so saturated with the Word of God that if you were to slit my wrist, I would bleed bibline blood. The Scripture's coursing through your life, your mind, your heart. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you might be careful to do according to everything that was written in it. Hadn't planned to say this. You know, if you go to Deuteronomy 17, when God said you guys are going to have kings, but let me tell you what the king needs to do. One of his four requirements is that he had to write a copy of the law, the Pentateuch, all five books, in his own handwriting. He had to have his own personal copy of the law, and he had to carry it with him everywhere he went. That's the king's assignment. I'm going to say that's yours and my assignment. It goes with us everywhere we go. We are teaching the importance of obeying God. You remember what Samuel said to Saul after he refused to obey God and wait for Saul? God's not interested in your sacrifices, Samuel said, but he is interested in obedience. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not, what's the next word? Do what I say. The importance of obedience. I think of my own life. I grew up in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Came to Dallas through Haiti. Met and married my wife. God brought her into our lives. And I say to my adult kids, if I had not followed God and been obedient to Him, you wouldn't be here. You ought to see what they look like. Never thought of that. I don't know where you'd be, but you wouldn't be my kid. Because I wouldn't have obeyed God and come this way. But God ordained my life and my steps. Let me go to principle number five. As grandparents, we live and pray for generations that we will not see. Just think about that for a second. Psalm 78 says it, so that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn. Do you know your life carries a legacy? And I'm not talking about the end of your life legacy. I'm talking about your legacy right now. What kind of legacy are you leaving as you pray for your adult kids and generations you will not see? I don't know what your prayer life is like, but let me suggest something. You and I, as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents, I'd have a prayer list for our kids, our adult kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. You ought to have a prayer list for people in this church, other generations. For example, you're going to have this weekend in January. Why not begin to pray for young people that will be in your home and after, not only while they're in your home that weekend, but why don't you follow them for the next 20 years of their life and saying, I don't know how many be in your home, but say, I'm going to be committed to praying for you for the next 10, 20 years in your life. Count on it. Build a friendship with them. Love them. Disciple them. Pour your life into them. You have no idea the impact it'll make for the kingdom of God. Do that with your kids. Update it every year or every week or as you find out new stuff. Keep a ledger, a whole tablet on praying for your kids and your grandkids and your kids and grandkids in the church spiritually. And you will impact generations you will never see. Let me conclude with the sixth one. By the way, you know Jesus does that for us. He prayed in John 17 for his disciples, and then he prayed, and I pray for all of those who will believe on my name. He prays for us. The last principle is we will do all the above together as generations that encourage each other in the mission that God entrusts to us, that is the church. That is us. The church is a multi-generational organism moving through life, moving through history. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but God will use the generations that are alive today in the church, all the generations. He used a young Joseph. He used an old Joseph. He used a young Daniel. He used an old Daniel. He will use all of us when we're young, when we're middle-aged, when we're old, to give a vision of God to the world to come. I'll give you a specific encouragement. Did you catch the drift of our message? God has a purpose in your generation right now as older people to encourage those coming behind you. You'll have it this month. You'll have it at Christmas. Maybe multi-generations of your family and others perhaps will be in your home at some point in the season of Christmas. Instead of making Christmas all about presents, which is not the vision of God, it's fun, but it's not the key thing about Christmas. How about if parents and grandparents and younger people shared around the table what God is doing in their life? Grandparents and parents would take the lead. You remember Psalm 71. We're going to talk about it. We're going to share what God is doing in our lives. The closing principle then would be the family of God is a web of multiple generations, joyously pursuing together the glory of Christ, each sharing their own stories, each one encouraging the other. If I could encourage older people to do one thing, older believers, sit down and tell your story about God's faithfulness in your life to your adult kids. Sit down and tell your story about God's faithfulness in your marriage when you went through hard times. Sit down with your adult kids and your grandkids and tell stories of your failures and how God worked through you in spite of yourself. Nobody needs to be perfect. God loves us the way we are. Romans 8:29, one of my favorite verses, gets us into multi-generational living. For whom he foreknew, that is God, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers and multi-generations of those who follow him. Will you join the generational community that says, we trust God? Will you be older people in this church who say to all those around you, we trust God? Will you be older people who say to younger parents, we trust God and we want to be with you and encourage you to do the same? Will you do it with high school kids? If you're not a part of God's family through Christ, I encourage you to open your heart to him this morning, to hear his voice in your life, to receive his forgiveness. We remember the cup and the bread. His body was broken. His blood was spilled for us to bind us into his family, the church, multi-generational missions at work every day as we penetrate our culture. Will you do that? Will you commit your life this morning and say, I want to be that kind of multi-generational adult, making a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you bow with me? Father, I thank you for the purpose of the family and the purpose of the church, a multi-generational organism of people whose lives have been changed by the intrusion of Jesus into our lives. And Christmas is not just a story, but it's a real life event eternally at work. And may we be older people and parents and grandparents and young people alike caught up with a vision of God at work in our lives. May this day be that kind of day. May this season be that kind of season. I pray in the name of Christ. And all of God's people said,